list.
Yeah, Franz Liszt or Edvard Grieg are two of the guys that come to mind that really love the relationship of keys in major third apart. Schubert, too. Schubert's much earlier, and he loves it, but he doesn't use the augmented chord as much as a bridge. Okay. The augmented chord on C and E and A-flat, as you may recall, would be containing, allowing for enharmonics on a fret instrument being the same notes, would contain all the same tones.
The same three chords.
That's right. Each one of them. So whenever you play any augmented form, it's got three possible tonics in there. That's right. So when you're on the end of that tune in the bridge, rather, the end of the bridge, and you're in E, and you're playing E major 7, if you played either E augmented or E major 7 augmented, or E major, major or major 7 augmented leads you right back to the other key.
Okay.
Because if this is... like a very common tone area, instead of thinking always 2-5 of F minor. Like a lot of books show, and it's a good change, to show going C7 augmented there. To get back like a 5 chord.
And you don't put 2 in front of it sometimes?
And sometimes 2 in front of it, yeah. But either way, the C7 augmented, if you reduce it down farther than just C augmented, then you're also playing the E chord that you just came from. Flat is F minor 7 if you change the bass note, right?
Right.
So it's a very sneaky little area of tonality that a lot of composers do. That is an augmented chord with three different roots. So this looks like a C augmented.
Got it.
It also looks like an E augmented.
And so you throw in some other notes.
Right. Instead of going, say, to the third, let's just say you're running a big string of augmented chords.
Okay, that's
halfway,
the normal way.
Halfway through, switch to one of the major chords. You can go to E or A flat or
any of the three tonics that are
exactly. And then go back, right after you do that, go right back into the augmented. And then switch to a different one. Surprising sound to you. First 100 times you do it, it'll surprise your ear a little bit.
Here's what I did also. This is extremely, this is the way I have to approach these things to make it easier. Is that
you wrote out the top line of this thing?
Basically, yeah. I can't read the chord. It takes forever to go through the chord, so I'd rather take forever and write it out and then.
You get used to those symbols.
I know.
I must tell you, but this is not bad since you have so much experience with this. It's good actually.
I can see. So I basically put a top note sketch on some, and just so I could read the rhythms and refer
smart.
It.
It's good, man.
Did I have some questions? I had a couple questions. Okay, this is not this, but this is just what rules allow a natural nine to be played over a sharp nine, which happens in rock all the time. If you're playing the, you know, you always go.
Yeah, if you were to try to sustain this note in this register right next to that, you wouldn't love it. No way, no normal rock sensibility cat would enjoy that. But when it's a passing tone, first of all, let's allow that this is part of the scale that includes that note as a transitory tone. But there's more to it than that, man, because you can sustain it if it's an octave higher.
Exactly, it sounds great.
It's just not in the same register so much.
Yeah,
there are other half steps that work next door to each other. We know that. Like these, those same two notes work in this.
In the major sevenths and stuff like
that. Yeah, like in G major
minor seven. Nines and stuff.
Just in an E7 sharp 9 natural 9. I'm not sure that that's
what scale source would that be considered?
I like it. I go on record. I like it.
I don't mind it either. But
there's no one scale source of a common Western scale that's going to give you F sharp, G, and the kicker is the G sharp. So it's
right.
Three from
right.
Because if it weren't for the G sharp, we just hear it as Dorian.
Right, Dorian. And normally, typically, when you're playing a sharp nine in a jazz context, usually that's saying, oh, well, there's going to be a flat nine also.
That's true, unless it's a tonic. If it's a tonic, you may not even touch the F note except as a passing tone.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think of it as a tonic, like Hendrix. You know, you're vamping on
it. I mean, in a jazz thing, if it's, let's just say it's, let's say it's one of these. Jazzy more than the straight three chord blues because of the surrounding harmonies.
It's F-sharp is in there though.
F-sharp sounds great to my ear. The F-natural would sound less important to my ear because it sounds like a passing tone.
Plus you're using the 5, I mean you're going 2-5, start one of those, right? E to A, right?
2-5. How about we're going 1-4.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Sorry.
Big scale. I mean, the scale that has a lot of stable notes would include natural nine and raised nine and major third.
Sure.
As long as, if this note's not the top note, then the major third's even a good lingering note, right?
Sure.
It's only when this is top that this might sound a little unusual. Natural four or raised four or both.
Yeah.
Five, definitely the 13 because that's a natural extension next.
I guess that's sort of answered my question. That's what
flat
I figured.
This is just a passing tone. How does the major seven find its home in blues on a one chord?
How does it? Well,
I mean, how can we use that besides
just passing tone?
Going down chromatically or up chromatically. You know that it's a neighbor tone also.
Oh yeah, if you go up something like.
That's right.
The thing I discovered in blues, which I finally my ears got used to, is just when you go to the four chord, all of a sudden that note sounds
great,
really
man.
Good.
Yeah, it's a cool one, huh? Good man. Yes.
You kind of stuff it up. That, yeah, it's just interesting. Okay, so that. I was just here's you and your notation again. In the part in here,
I gotta get my hands warmed up so I can play today. Everybody's gonna come and give me chops. I'm listening to you.
You know this part when you're going here, in the E part, you've gone. Let's see, you've gone here, and then when you go, you go. That chord.
17 bit. Yeah. What would you have me call it? What would you like?
Four. Why don't you just say it goes E to A instead of some...
Oh, because I called it a B chord, right?
Yeah, you call it a B.
See, because
B...
If we call
seven,
that a B.
7, 6, yeah. Sus, 4, 17.
I know, man. I hate that I have to be that crazy with the nomenclature. I'm not after craziness, man. I'm after simplicity. But I'm also after precision. And there's one note that's common above 13 in theory, and it is 17.
What's
it's
that?
The only one.
17 is what?
17 is...
The third?
Okay, yeah. Let's do this very quickly. Tape is still on, right?
The tape's running.
Okay.
I want to know about it. I've seen this before in your notation 17.
It's the only time I do. I don't go 19 or 28, you know, just this one note. If you play an 11th chord, it's a beautiful chord. Most everyone agrees. It's a very beautiful sound. We don't include the third because it doesn't help the sound.
You don't have a minor nine interval and something like
that. It doesn't help the sound. It's available, certainly, if you're doing these in the lower voices. Then. But just to freeze it and say, does this help the sound? I've gotten used to it. I don't mind it, but it's not helping the beauty of the chord. It's just creating some tension. Five adds fullness. Five doesn't clash, but three kind of clashes. So we find the third is fairly unusable with the 11th chord. Then we put it in the mid-range next to the 11. It doesn't add to the beauty. It adds to the tension. You can make it work by arpeggiating it or by bearing the dissonance under a stable note. But it's still a clash. We can tell there's a rust. Not exactly the all-time beautiful chord. So then we figure, well, this one's going to be a problem too. But because of the disposition of 11 being in this distance from the three way above it, this note is safe. But not only is it safe, it's kind of a magic note. Now, because we've already heard this, let's go down a half step. Have you play? Oh, come up a half step. We'll play C this time. Let's go to C. Now I'm going to.
What am I going
to
play? Just C11.
Just
C11.
That's a real special note.
I can see why it fits. I mean, I know that it jives with. I can have that minor nine interval.
Hear me out just one more second, please. Not only does the note work, but it's a great note. It's not just okay. Before it was like, no, if you work with it, yes, but not great. And now it's like fabulous, terrific, stupendous note, man. So it deserves its own name because it only works in one octave.
Why is it 17?
Because it only works in the upper octave.
Is 17, is that, was it?
That's the number it ends up being.
Because I never counted past 13.
There's some notes in music theory that only work in a certain octave, so
right.
We can sometimes allow for things like
that. So that makes sense, I guess. But okay, then what chord is this? It's a...
In that register?
No, check it out.
I call it an add 11 for simplicity, just so I can write it clean.
So in other words, by saying add 11, you're implying that the third is included.
That's right. See, this one's different because this doesn't have that shimmering overtone. So this actually sounds like a C chord, and we've added a 4. You can say add 4 to that word.
Add 4.
Yeah, add 11 or add 4. But this isn't the same as being upstairs.
Because this is actually
where you've got 7, 9, 11, 13 all supporting that note. See? This just is one solitary note brought into the triad to give Joni Mitchell's phone number out to them.
So this is actually an F chord with a C on the bass.
You didn't say what would it be as an F. I assumed you meant as a C chord. You weren't playing that game.
I wouldn't have considered it as a C chord. That's all.
Yes, you meant it. Yeah, no offense, Mark. You're a nice man, smart guy, but you would consider it as a C if you.
Thanks. Yeah, I wanted to be clarified on that.
Because you'd hear it as a sus 4, then you'd have to. It's not wrong to do it this way and say C sus 4.
Got that.
Add 3. 17 now, not in this register.
Okay.
Here, add 3.
I think add 11. I like that. I'm just looking. I didn't really know because technically, you know, you learn a lot of times in school and stuff, and there's no such thing as putting the fourth together.
This one sounds like a C sus 4 to my ear with an added third. So if I try to name it according to the way I'm hearing it, I'd say that.
I think I consider it as a C chord.
C sus 4 add 10. I might write add 10 to make sure somebody. It's not wrong to say 10 because we have 10th intervals.
Right.
That would make them put it in the right register.
Yeah, right.
I wouldn't call it 10 17 though. It has to be up here.
Well, I wouldn't.
Sapphire. And it has, excuse me, one more thing. Has to have those other overtones, right? Because up here, the same chord is still 10. That's not that same magic effect that you get, but all those other cool notes are there.
Well,
it's a real magic chord.
A chord like this, I wouldn't write this. I wouldn't write it down and expect someone to get it without, you know, having a diagram drawn or something.
He wrote C sus 4 and 10. All it would take is a person who didn't say, I don't know what he means. If they came with an open mind, they'd find out.
They'd figure out what it is. I mean, I know what it means. I mean, I'm just saying, basically, a lot of times I would probably have to draw.
We're going to get someday a stable of probably 400 chords or something that'll be part of the Western culture, and maybe 300 of them will be outside cases like this that are very rare. That's for say 6-note chords. When we get out to 10-note, 12-note chords, there'll be, you know, thousands of chords.
Well,
when it gets this width, you can play all 12 notes in a chord if you space it right.
Sure.
But we can't play them on a normal instrument, except for a keyboard player with four hands. So,
what do you think? What do you know? Are you familiar with in composition things like harmonic environment?
You say harmonic environment.
Fifths.
How do we know what you're saying?
Just terminology. Just basing. We do a thing where we research notes, right, and intervals, and we base everything off a couple fifths and a couple above and a couple fifths below that particular note, which is what we call the harmonic environment of a note. So an A above it has an E and a B, and below it
D, G,
right. D and G, right?
So your question is?
I just wonder if you'd ever run into that in any of your readings.
Stacking fifths, sure, I see it all the time.
We're talking about researching, like you get an interval of, say, a half step or something, right?
You're talking about taking this
note here,
playing with the fifth interval above the fifth.
No, we're talking about.
So I may not know any of this. I may not know what it is that
we're playing. Well, we're talking about. This is just in no key, right?
No, I'm not in a key either. I'm just playing it right.
And we get it, say in the middle of a melody, or there's this predominant interval in the melody, like say a half step, right? So what we do is we research the fifths implied above and below it, each of the notes, like a C and a D flat, for example, right? And then out of those, you get like about 10 notes altogether.
From C and D flat?
Yeah.
Sure. Why C and D flat?
Well, it's a half step, any half step.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. So
and then combining the upper ones together to form chords or verticals, because sometimes they're not chords, and the bottom ones to form chords and verticals and to see. This is for composition stuff to get.
Let me see if I understand you right. Let's have Mark play this.
Right.
I'm going to play. Okay. Just move up in whole steps and half steps, like whole, half, whole, half.
Yeah.
There are all kinds of fifth stacks that are going to work and give you chords. Yeah. I would just think all that is just fifths and how many intervals mesh together. If there's some other aspect that I'm missing, then I'm missing.
No, I'm just learning.
It's cool. I mean, left hand, if the hand could spread that far, you know, and get a nice ninth like that, and then have a ninth in this hand, you know, two fifths is a ninth.
I think the point was that ultimately, whatever you pick is either going to be from above or below. It's going to fit in there somewhere. Because if you do fifths forever, it's going to come back around to the beginning again anyways, right?
It's just a question if you like the sound.
Yeah. And so it was just a thing of researching some background stuff you could write and stuff you could write around melodies and how to, you know, counterpoint and stuff like that, but based on...
Maybe you'll write some stuff out like that and you'll bring it in and play it for me and I'll understand better how you are intending this to be.
Well, as I get into it more and more, I'll be able to... I'll be able to explain it. What were you doing? Were you just playing random fifths?
I was trying to think of it. At one point, I realized I was not doing a good job early on, so then I said, try and adjust so it comes out consonant every time with him.
Yeah.
So I was just, you know, thinking, okay, he's here. If he goes up a whole step, then I should go down a whole step to make it consonant.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Seemed to sound pretty good.
Most of them worked, yeah.
Yeah, it did. Interesting.
So all the things you are, let's give that a shot in the key of
okay.
D.
Key D sounds good to me.
Let's just see how far into the structure you get, and then if there's a problem, look at faster ways to mess with this stuff.
See, it's supposed to go up a half step, right?
If it goes up a half step, the quality of chord, that's right, take it into 5.
Okay, got it.
So let's come out of the D again. 3, 4.
Oh.
No, just the D chord right there before the D. It's a D major.
Right?
2, 3.
That's why I haven't done it for a while, but that's what I usually remember.
Instead of
up or down. Instead of going
half step, instead of saying
instead
of 1-3-5-7.
Yeah, I just try to remember go up a half step to a minor seven, which is the two chord. And then once you're there, you know it's easy to get to five.
Okay, I won't worry then. You understand the structure. Yeah. That's the roadmap method as opposed to the analytical. The better way of seeing how he composed, well, I don't know how he composed it. He may have composed it linearly and got, just as a result, it could have come out that way.
I can see both ways, learning both ways, just to, if you want to analyze it, just to see where the guy, see if he figured out where he's coming from. That might help a bit, but I like the visual reference thing, too.
Yeah, I don't use the board as the reference now, because otherwise you get trapped into the root stuff. Sure. You've got to just say it's a visual belt in your head of
D to
E flat, so you could be on this D,
right,
and then come down to that E flat. You don't want it to be just this.
I wasn't using the roots all the time.
That's right, but I mean, just in a sense, concerned me
a lot of times
because
like,
you said the visual method. You know?
A lot of times it's like this. I want to play D flat or something. Rather than playing, I'll see this, I'll go. I'll see this and then.
Right. What if you train your mind not to see any of those roots, just to think of the structure, the roadmap version of the songs, and then I know at the easier spots in there, I wasn't concerned. It's just at the tough spots, you should have something you can rely on. It doesn't require root seeing on the board to get your thought. So how about that Green Dolphin Street thing?
Didn't do it.
Haven't gotten to that yet? Mm-hmm. That one, I'm sure you'll write the rhythmic thing out.
I was going to write
out. This one.
I didn't say things. I mean, I went through, I'll tell you what I did. I went through it once, but out of time, I just fingered the chords. The chords were very easy, no problem.
Yeah, think about that team concept of the NFs for the fingering. Instead of using the same to jump.
Okay, is that?
So 1, 2, and 3, 4 will give you more action. Put it in a different perspective. If you're hanging around closer to one position and you go, you can get that action with the teams.
Exactly.
It's like you throw these on.
Because I didn't do the time, I was just going, what are the shapes he's using here, and just going through it.
Yeah, as long as you do that, the fingerings will get a little easier.
That's my project.
So that'll be an excellent view for that.
That'll be a good project.
Get you onto a different track here as well. So you're finding maybe a half hour to an hour a day to
about that
when you average it out?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, any particular reason you went from when you're going, when you went here, change it to a half diminished? Is there any reason you...
Why did I do the half diminished?
Is it just a melodic thing or something? You went...
I love the color of it first. Just as a result, as a bonus, it gives your counterpart. The fact that we get this kind of stuff...
What was that way you did?
No, I love the color of it. That's the other stuff's just a bonus. It just happened.
I just dig the sound. I wouldn't throw that in if I was jamming with somebody.
You can do it if you're running the harmony.
What?
You know, more and more these chords are coming into play, where it's like altered minor is becoming a normal thing. So any two chord can be made into an F.
But I mean, if everybody else is not knowing it,
if you're running the harmony,
if you're running,
if it's your show, and you say, fellas, I throw in some subs because I get bored, so be aware. I like to throw in half diminished sometimes, man. I won't do it every chord, but just occasionally.
Okay.
I won't be intrusive, but if I hear you're taking if there's a lull in your solo, I might feed you the chord and expect you to respond if you don't mind, you know? I mean, if it's your gig.
So that's the thing, okay. I mean, it sounds great.
It's just we get bored with so many two chords.
Yeah.
We don't want to use up the beauty. I mean, it is a beautiful thing to have a two, but there's such a preponderance of those chords.
This is a bonus that I finally can get my thing to pull down three strings. Also, I was getting this.
Nice. Now that you can do that, you can also catch this.
I don't know, can I?
You can. It's the same fingering, except you use the third finger on A.
Third finger. finger on A.
Now this goes with this B11 thing. That's what, how special that 17th note sounds.
Okay, I see. We got a, here's the root.
It's a real terrific note.